I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello and welcome to Basic Bingers. I am Boyd Hilton. I'm joined by Kay Ribeiro.
Hello.
And Stephanie Seelan.
Is Kay your favourite?
Mm-hmm. No.
It sounded Boyd. Like she was.
Why?
I don't know. I just want to clarify it.
She's in one of those moods.
Already the madness has begun. We are a weekly pop culture review podcast, mainly television, but we also like to mention other things as well, sometimes films, sometimes books, Kay particularly.
Kay loves a book.
Loves a book.
Swatty famous McSwatterson.
For it. Famous for it. Mm. Famous for her reading.
Yeah.
And this week we've got some absolutely intriguing television programmes in the main meaty section of our reviews, including season 2 of The Sinner.
Ooh.
Coming up on Netflix. The new series from Louis Theroux, Altered States.
Yes.
Yay.
Good response. And The Heist.
Boo.
Steph.
Oh, spoiler alert.
No, come on. Even John's giving you a dirty look for that. Oh. Dirty look, John.
I've got a head shake.
It's a big new Sky One kind of, what would you describe it? Like factual entertainment, high concept.
Hunted
thing.
With money.
Competition thing.
Yeah, as discussed last week.
Did we? Oh, yeah. You went to the screening of it. That's right.
I got
handcuffs. So we're reviewing it in full. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, you were embargoed from reviewing
it. And now
I'm
free.
Now we're all free. Now we've all seen it. We can hold forth. But before all that, we enter into what we've all been watching, listening to, reading, etc. this week. And I turn, as I often do, first to Stephanie Seelan, who is with child, so forgive her. That's very sexist, isn't it? Sorry, I take
that
back.
No, let's not forgive her anything. We've got to be all judged on the same platform.
Yeah, that's true. But I was trying to lay the groundwork for the fact that she won't stick to the format and she will pick more than three things.
She did that before she was pregnant.
Mm. Hold on a minute. I'm sure Kay's going to mention it. But there's been somewhat of a complaint.
There has.
And I've decided to address it.
Yeah.
And I'm holding aloft 3 bits of paper. And do you know why? Because I'm going to recommend 3 things. Because this section's called The Three.
Do you know what? But what that means is that the complaint, which we'll get to later in the feedback section, has worked. Because you've been wrapped on your knuckles.
I hadn't finished. For 1 week only, I will be sticking to the format. And then let's just see how it feels.
Let's see what feedback we get after you stick to the format.
You know who you are and you're going to be named and shamed.
Go ahead, right. Steph. Hey, Steph, sorry.
Another proof of the favouritism. To see what I mean. See how...
You're now Kef.
Kef, right. Okay. Atypical, season 2. Did anyone watch Atypical Season 1 on the Netflix?
Was that the one about the teenager on the autistic spectrum?
We reviewed it, I think, the first episode,
yeah.
Didn't we?
Yeah.
Okay. The fabulous Keir Gilchrist stars. He is a teen on the autistic spectrum. His parents are Jennifer Jason Leigh and Michael Rapaport. Oh, my God, could you want any better parents than that?
No.
No.
Except for mine.
Oh. He's got a teenage sister. This is the second season. In the first season, we're introduced to him. He's growing up. He wants to get a girlfriend. He's kind of in love with his counsellor. He's just trying to navigate his way through life. The sister is played by... Oh, actually, who is she?
Oh, can bloody you look done your research.
Sorry, I did print the thing off. She's my favourite character.
Well, it's all very well, but you don't even know who she is.
Yeah, there was a bit of an explosion last year around dramas around autistic.
I thought there was an explosion last year somewhere.
There was. It was around dramas around autism.
Yeah.
And this was one of them that came out. It's really, really funny. And, John Dan. Bridget Lundy Payne. Well done you, Bridget Lundy Payne, because you are brilliant. She plays a sister. She's a very sporty sister.
I mean, you forgot her name, but now you're saying she's brilliant.
I know, because I thought it said it on here. Sorry.
Okay.
Anyway, it's all about the family dynamic, how they've dealt with his autism, how it affects the mother and the father differently and his relationship with his sister. It's so brilliant, and it is also hilarious. So it's on season two now. His sister's gone to a different school, so it's how he's coping with that, and he's going to go to college. So it's all about that. He's got a best friend. He's got a job in like a tech store, and he's got a best friend who is amazing and helps him navigate his way through life. It's brilliant. He's very high level functioning. He's obsessed with the Arctic and polar bears and
why
penguins.
Wouldn't you be?
I mean, yeah, exactly. If you haven't watched it, they're only like 25, 30 minutes. It's really, really heartwarming and funny. Please watch it. That's just the first one. One of three, to make clear. Two of three is Netflix. Again, apologies. It is a Netflix thing.
Sponsored by Netflix.
Remastered. Who Shot the Sheriff? A Bob Marley story.
Who did it?
Well, you're about to find out. Well, I'm not going to spoil it, so you're not. Okay, so this is a remastered documentary. Bob Marley, as we know, huge, amazing legend. I think he died. Did he die at 36? Died at 36 because he got cancer of the toe. Some people think he didn't. Some people think he might not have died of cancer of the toe. But that's not for us to get into right now. Anyway, he did get shot. So rival political parties in Jamaica were causing all sorts of madness. And at one point, this gang of people came into his house. He had this house on a road called Hope Road that was sort of like a political neutral ground where people used to come and just be creative and smoke a ganja and all of that kind of stuff.
Hold on.
I urge you never to do that again.
What?
That was not cool because you also were just doing sort of like an impression.
Smoke a ganja.
Smoke a ganja.
Steph, that is
what?
That is
brilliant.
Just...
That's what they were doing.
No.
Playing guitar, smoking a ganja.
When you were watching this at home with Liam B. George, your husband, were you smoking a ganja as well?
I was smoking a ganja.
Yeah,
he must have loved this.
Yeah.
He loves Bob Marley.
He loves Bob Marley.
This
is a fantastic documentary, and obviously it's got all his music, and it's about how he tried to... Jamaica was really desperate for him to kind of help be this big saviour, and how he tried to do it through music, and he wrote a song about getting shot, and... A couple of people died. It's really awful. Anyway, he could put together this huge concert about it, and it's all about who actually did shoot him and uncovering it.
But wait a minute, it's Bob Marley based true crime.
Yeah.
Okay.
What?
The best kind of crime.
Just any kind of Bob Marley.
No. Anything involving Bob Marley.
There was a crime.
There was a big Bob Marley documentary, I think.
Marley.
Marley. Kevin McDonald,
Marley.
Maybe?
Yeah. Which is fabulous.
Right.
But this is equally as good.
Right.
And actually, I think probably, I mean, that's also based around the One Love concerts, but. But that's got more of his family life in it.
Yeah,
so it's
I mean
got
that's
more,
a general.
Yeah,
so this is just about.
This is all
one
about.
This
the,
is about
who shot him.
Yeah, this is about his attempted assassination.
Right. What's it called again?
Who Shot the Sheriff?
Okay.
Of course.
Which is obviously one of his songs.
Yes.
Yeah.
Was that the song you're referring to when you talked about? He wrote a song about shooting.
No.
Okay.
I don't think it is that
no.
one.
Okay.
Well,
coincidence. He's
I can't
got
remember.
Another song
I can't remember
I shot
it
the
is. It might be.
Very confusing.
Sorry, I've been smoking a ganja. I'm not quite sure.
Maybe let's get your husband, Liam B. George, in to tell us about this.
Anyway, it's very good. And there's some lovely old footage. But it talks about when he escaped Jamaica and came to London, which is also very interesting.
Right.
Right.
Number
three.
Come on, that's
three.
It.
Yeah.
This is good.
The old ITV. Now, this was on this week, but it's on the iPlayer. As of today... When we're recording, Friday the 26th, you've got 28 days left to watch this, okay? Just
what
want you
is
to
it?
Note
what
your diaries.
Everyone's like, hold on, get me a calendar.
Yeah, we'll get your calendars.
In other words,
you've got your calendars.
You can watch it on ITV Player, fine.
Only for another 28 days.
ITV Hub, wherever it's called. ITV, yeah.
Yeah, it is the Hub.
Yeah, on the Hub.
Trevor McDonald and the Killer Nurse.
Yes.
Now.
I love Trevor McDonald.
Do any of you remember who Beverly Allitt was?
Yes.
No.
She was a right wrong one. So, Beverly Allitt, she worked in a children's ward And she basically attempted to kill about 13 children. She succeeded in killing four of them, I believe it's four. She was a right bitch, okay? And basically what this uncovers is a load of tapes of her saying, I didn't do it, I didn't do it. Obviously we know she didn't, she's awful. And she's now residing, much to lots of people's upset, she resides in a hospital prison place, not in an actual prison. And lots right. of people think she should be in a prison.
So she's ill?
Well, some people say she faked her illness. She's a nurse. Some people say she had Munchausen's by proxy, which is mm-hmm. when, you know, you make somebody else ill so that you can become the caretaker. So she at one point said she had anorexia and she was diagnosed. There's been lots of diagnosed with multiple personality disorders. There's a lot of people who think she should just be in prison. And there's footage of her when she was in prison saying that she actually quite liked it and she had a lot of freedom, which is obviously horrendous for someone so awful. But Trevor McDonald, okay, so he gets, as he always does, he gets to the bones of it, and he interviews a load of people who lived through it, and people and young people who were at the time targets for her, who've now grown up, and how they are coping now. It's very, very upsetting. So people who survived...
how awful. Obviously it's amazing they survived, but like how awful to be so traumatised by that.
I know people who don't particularly, even if you don't particularly like a lot of true crime, they love Trevor McDonald things because he just has a very unique way of tapping into people. And this is no exception. It's part of the ITV's Crime and Punishment season. It's been a lot of good crime on. But I have chosen this one because I enjoyed it the most. And that is my three suggestions.
Huge praise indeed from the queen of true crime, Stephanie Seelan.
Thanks, B.
Kay.
Hi. So I'm going to start with season two of The Resident. Did anyone watch season one?
What is it?
It's the one with, okay, Matt Kushri, Kuzukri, Zukri?
Let me have a look.
Zukri.
Grushnik.
No, it's not, it's Zukri. So he's the guy who was on The Good Wife, and he played Carrie Largos, I think, or something. Anyway, he's very good. He plays a doctor who works at Chastain Park Memorial Hospital. I think I talked about it when it was on the first season, because he's a bit of a...
Oh, yeah.
He's a bad boy doctor.
Yeah. Who, is it a bit cheesy?
It's a little bit cheesy, but it's also, like, it is very, like, entertaining. He's a brilliant bad boy doctor who is a bit of a rebel, and he... will often break the rules to, like, you know, just help his patients. Because as we know, in America, it's all about the healthcare system and the money. And so there's a lot of, inverted commas, baddies who run the hospital. And they're very off, you know, they're just all caring about the money. That's all they care about. They don't care about the patients. But he obviously, you know, fights the good fight. And he wants to make them better and doesn't care that they don't have the insurance. Anyway, so it's the second series. As always, it's all about the patients, but what I like about it is the on-off relationship he has with the nurse Nick. So that's what I mainly tune in for. But if you like hospital dramas, I'm not saying it's on the level of Grey's Anatomy or ER at all.
Do you watch The Good Doctor?
No, I don't.
I feel like I'm going to start watching that. I keep seeing adverts for it. Do you watch?
Yeah, it's
that
supposed to be good. Yeah, on Sky.
I think it's Witness because, as you know, Witness is my go-to channel.
Yeah, yeah. The dude from Bates Motel is in it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's supposed to be good. What channel, Kay, pray tell, is this programme on? You don't know, do you? You've picked a programme called The Resident.
On Sky.
It's not on Sky. I'll tell you what channel it's on.
Are you just testing me?
Yes, I think, you know, if you're going to pick a show.
I've been very rushed writing these notes when I came in. I didn't have time to jot.
Someone's got to go to a screening, so we've got to.
Oh, yeah, it's all my fault. It's on the Universal channel.
Is it?
It's on Sky.
It's on Sky. It's not part of Sky.
Saying Sky is like it's on your Sky. It's on
BBC
your Sky
One's
box.
On Sky.
It was on my Sky Planner,
yeah,
boys.
Well, it is on Sky.
But you need to.
It is on Sky. Stop.
All right.
If you've got
time.
Sky, right? Okay. Let me ask you. You've got Sky. Apologia. Can you watch BBC One? Yeah. If you've got Sky, can you watch Universal? Yeah.
Next time. Okay.
Everything. That's what I'm saying. Coverall. It's on Sky.
Yeah, okay. Louis Theroux's new documentary was on Sky. Okay. Who knew? Yeah.
It is on Sky. Anyway.
Boyd, don't be snotty, it's beneath you.
I mean,
okay, so the second thing I wanted to...
Facts. It's not facts.
Second thing I wanted to talk about very briefly, because I know you did this when I was in Cornwall, was There She Goes on BBC Four, Tuesday nights.
David Tennant. 10 PM.
Yes, David Tennant and then Jessica Hines.
What channel is it on?
BBC
Sky.
Four.
Sky.
And it's the comedy drama about a family coping with the day-to-day living with a severely disabled... 9-year-old who has learning difficulties. And I absolutely love it. I urge everyone to watch it, because if you like the A word, it's obviously You know, that little boy was on the spectrum as well, and it was a similar kind of vibe. But this is just really, really funny. And often when you're watching, you'll think, oh, at first you think, oh no, I shouldn't laugh at this really. Mm. But actually, you should, because it is just a very funny script, and they're very funny scenarios, which actually could be relatable to any child having tantrums, which is part of the joke. Because, as you know, as you've watched the first episode, they have a neighbour who will often just go up to David Tennant and go, oh, there, she's going to grow out of this. And he's like, she's not. But so it's really good.
What an idiot.
And I can confirm episode 2 is all about Rosie, who is the little daughter, having a bath, and the fact that whenever she's in the bath, she goes crazy and just wants more and more bubbles until it's basically going over, splashes everything. And so Jessica Hines hilariously has to come up with a strategy of getting her out, which is basically putting a, what's that soap, the Mr. Bubbles, is it? You know, the one with the funny hat. Anyway.
Matey.
Yeah. Puts it outside of the bathroom door along with some mini cheddars to basically lure her out.
That would get anyone out of a bath.
That's what I think.
And when's this show on?
Boyd, it's on Tuesdays at 10 o'clock.
Oh,
yeah.
Very good.
In your face.
On BBC4/Sky.
Mm. Yeah, and it's also
it's on
iPlayer.
Sky.
Just to confirm that The Resident is on Universal TV, as they're now calling it.
Yeah.
Not the Universal Channel. What do you mean, yeah?
It's such a SWAT.
Yeah, on Sky.
Oh, hold on. I'm called a SWAT by informing our listeners, our people on the ground, that we supposedly love and cherish, just telling them when they can watch the effing programme that you've just recommended.
I'm going to hold on your because that is SWAT-y. You have a go at me when I try and get the prices for things.
Yeah, that's true,
you're like,
boys.
Prices don't matter.
Let's always be consistent.
I care about people's money.
Anyway, The Resident,
yes,
an actual TV choice, is medical on the drama. Universal TV channel, Tuesdays, 9 o'clock.
On Carry the on. Sky box.
Next.
Oh, okay, wait a minute. I've got to lean down for this.
Oh.
And
hold this up.
Oh, it's another ruddy bloody book.
It's a ruddy bloody book. Let me describe it for you.
It
it's called 64 Geeks, Meet the Brains Who Changed the World, From Aristotle to Zuckerberg.
Oh.
And it's by Chaz Newkey Burden.
Hyphenated.
Now,
can
for
I
transparency.
Have that book?
No, you can't.
Why not?
Because A, I really like it, and B, I'm going to give it to my nieces. Right. I've got to be transparent. Chaz is actually one of our beloved POGs, people on the ground. He does listen to us. But this book landed on my desk.
Chaz, can you send me one, please?
No, buy
what?
It. Because Chaz wants the money. Look, I'll tell you how much it is. It is $12.99. Available at all good retailers. Anyway.
I at least need a discount.
Let me tell you what I like about this book, is that it's very nicely laid out, as you can tell. Each
good illos.
Yeah. Wait a minute. Let me
illustration.
Just get it open. No one says that,
illos. They do. People do say illos.
This
Boyd.
Is like...
They do, but it's annoying. It's
oh,
like,
oh,
it's
okay.
like people who say
cool.
docos for documentaries.
No one says
F
docos.
Off. They do. Annoying
who
people.
Who says that?
But annoying people.
Anyway,
no,
this,
they say
this
docs.
Is boring for everyone right. but us. Okay, so it's split into categories. So you've got the classical thinkers and Renaissance brains, machine age minds.
Renaissance Ooh. Brains?
Renaissance brains.
Oh, brains, yeah.
Machine age minds. You've got wartime whiz kids, space age sages, Gen X genius, and millennial marvels.
Can
and
you just turn to the Euclid page on 14? Because I was really wondering why. I don't know anything about Euclid. And I was wondering why in America there's so many Euclid avenues.
Steph, I'm going to do that because I'm going to describe the structure of the book, which
That'd
is
be
basically
great.
You've got a spread on each genius. And it's about what they've done. So in a nutshell, you've got on the left-hand side, you've got a nice illustration. It's quite pixelated, which
yeah,
I quite enjoy.
Who was it?
Graphic design. And then underneath, you've got a little summary of who they were, plus on the right-hand side, a full write-through, very wittily written. So to sum up, best known today for forming many of the key concepts of geometry and writing one of history's most pored-over mathematical textbooks.
Maybe that's why everyone has a Euclid Avenue.
I've spent a lot of time on the train, dipping into this, and what I've noticed is people staring over my shoulder so they can be informed and educated. So I'm educating a lot of people on Southwest trains right now, and that's all thanks to Chaz.
Is it going to be available in soft paperback?
Soft paperback.
Softback.
I was going to say softback.
I imagine, I mean,
I don't think you need. I don't think you need
you don't
it.
Need
I was just
it. You want it to be hardback because it's a lovely gift. It's a
that's
lovely.
It.
Yeah,
oh, it's a good
it's
Christmas.
A,
do you know what that is?
A Christmas
that's an
book.
Excellent stocking filler. Oh, that's a really good Secret Santa present because you're giving the gift of knowledge.
That's why I'm going to give it to my nieces. I'm going to read it back to back so I can educate myself. Then I'm going to give it to them. But for anyone who is stuck for a Christmas present or pub quizzes, this is. Brilliant
Before
revision for those.
You go home, I'm going to photocopy all of the pages and make my
oh
own.
Oh my God, Chaz, I will not let her do that. That is outrageous.
It's $12.99. Just effing well buy it.
Oh,
think of all the money you're saving with, when you get all
it
those films
really
magically
nice.
On your TV.
It's really nicely designed, isn't it? It's definitely
it's beautifully
perfect.
Designed.
Yeah, it's really, it's, do you think it's aimed at like a slightly younger
No, not at all.
But it could be good for like teenagers.
But teenagers.
I don't mean
and, like,
kids. I mean teenagers. Yeah.
That looks like
niece,
at totally my level.
My
and your nieces
that
what?
Are 10 and 12.
Yeah, my level.
They 100% will enjoy this. The only thing I would say, my only critique.
Yeah.
Ooh.
I mean, I wouldn't mind, Chaz, if there were a few more women in this, okay? Because there's only...
Here we go.
No, listen, I just did
suddenly
a little...
Suddenly she's a feminist.
I just did a little top-up, and there's... All I can see is maybe 10.
Is it a lot about inventors and
10
stuff
out
like
of
that?
How many?
10 out of 64. I mean, the title is 64 okay. Geeks.
Yeah, good point.
But yeah, so I wouldn't mind a few more women. You'll like this, Boyd. Shall I tell you why? Because one of them is Arsene Wenger.
Of course. Chaz
what a joke.
Chaz is obsessed with Arsene Wenger.
Arsene Wenger?
He's in here, right?
I mean, yeah.
And then I read the
Wenger boy. Oh my God.
I read the back and it suddenly became clear when I read, Chaz is a journalist and the author of a number of books, including Great Emark Disasters, a series of official titles for Arsenal FC as well. So it became clear why
Chaz is
he
a
was
gooner.
Included.
Okay.
Is that it? Those are your three?
Yeah.
Excellent.
Resident, There She Goes, and
64 Geeks.
Geeks.
Published by Ilex Books. It's $12.99. ISDN. Oh, Hachette offshoot.
Boyd, are you kidding? I mean, like,
I'm slightly kidding.
64 Geeks.
Well,
everyone
you suddenly
can Google
got
it.
Got annoyed that I was just informing people again. You both seem to be annoyed when I'm informing the listeners about how to get hold of these.
I think
things
I've described.
We're
it
telling them about.
I've always been up for us being service based, as you know.
Right.
Wait, Steph, say stop.
Stop.
Emmy Noether. She was best known for her theorem that by linking geometry and nature, yes, and the forces that describe its behaviour, gave thinkers a new tool to understand the universe and underpins much modern thinking in physics.
Well done, Emmy. Boyd.
Yes.
What did you have for lunch today?
Two packets of ready-sorted crisps that you very kindly gave me.
You got a diet of a toddler.
Oh, that was all that
it's
was
not
available.
It's time-consuming. It's time constraints.
B, what have you been watching in your evenings with your...
I've got a film I want to mention, which is called Juliet, Naked.
Oh,
which opens on Friday.
Who the hell's in that?
I'll tell you who the hell is in it. Chris O'Dowd.
Ledge.
Rose Byrne.
Oh.
Mm, doing a brilliant, I have to say, English accent.
She does do a fantastic English accent.
Very good English accent. It's all about, it's set in Britain. It's set in
she's
a
actually Australian.
Coastal community.
She is.
She's definitely not British, though. She's set in a coastal community, a small coastal community in Britain. Ethan Hawke.
Welcome back,
is
Ethan.
He good in it?
He's fantastic in it. They're all
Ethan's
great in it.
He's actually quite a good actor.
What do you mean? He's quite good. He's an absolute legend.
I wouldn't say he's
and
a legend.
He is.
Give
oh
me
God.
A legendary performance of Ethan Hawke's.
Well, I mean, the whole Beyond, Before Sunset, that whole trilogy is extraordinarily brilliant.
I feel
brilliant.
Like
naturalistic
that's only
acting.
50% him.
I've got a question.
Oh my God.
What's this one about?
This one, thanks, Kay, to get us back on track. This is an adaptation of the Nick Hornby novel.
Mm-hmm.
And Chris O'Dowd's character is this classic middle-aged dude who is, he's actually a film lecturer, but he spends his whole life obsessing about this American rock star. Ethan Hawke's character, who is a just kind of imagine like a legendary rock figure who suddenly kind of disappears from the limelight for mysterious reasons and basically retires from the mainstream music business and no one really knows why. So that adds to his legend. So Chris O'Dowd's obsessed with him and is like in charge of this like group, this online group that they spend their entire time listening to all his music, talking about what happened to him and why. Poor Rose Byrne is his longtime girlfriend who's like has to endure this obsession of his, and she's trying to live her life. And
I
know,
hope she goes to find him just to shut him up.
Trying to deal with him. And then we kind of, and then we meet the dude himself, Tucker Crowe, the actual obscure rocker played by Ethan Hawke brilliantly, I have to say, very authentically. And it's such an interesting film because, I mean, I reviewed it for Heat, which is why I've watched it. And it's coming out in cinemas. I think it'll probably be out quite soon afterwards, you know, on like a digital download and all that. Because it's quite, it's like a kind of small...
Is it Curzon Cinema?
It's not Curzon Cinema. It's definitely in cinemas first on Friday. But it's quite a small scale, modest thing, you know. It's like, because if you read Nick Hornby, you know, Nick Hornby books, you obviously did High Fidelity, etc. It's all about, you know, very realistic kind of, not, it's very like not particularly heightened versions of what happens in life, you know. So it's about these two people and they're very, it all feels very real. But for the first half an hour, basically, I was thinking, nothing's happening in this film. Like, I mean, I quite like these people. Actually, Chris O'Dowd's character is quite irritating. Good for him for playing an irritating doofus. He's obsessed with his rocker. But nothing matched up. And
so
then
it's
suddenly.
Sort of unremarkable. At the
unremarkable.
Beginning.
That's a good word. Thanks. And then suddenly, after about 45 to 50 minutes, which is quite a long time into a film, which is only an hour and a half, it all starts coming together and she gets to know this rocker. He befriends her initially online.
Yeah.
And then it starts getting really interesting. So interesting that by the end it's all about, like, can she extricate herself from being with Chris O'Dowd? Does she really want to? Is she really tempted by the rocker? So it's like this really interesting love triangle thing. What's he going to think about the whole thing? And I was absolutely captivated by the end. So it's like, after a rather slow start, it ends up being, I thought, really good. A real little gem.
I think Chris O'Dowd's character would be happy with that. Because can you imagine losing your girlfriend to your
someone you're obsessed with?
Yeah, well, that's part of it as well, yeah. But so I really liked it in the end. But I
would
say,
maybe you want to watch that.
Before. I'd be prepared to lose you to Catherine Zellner.
Thanks.
What about me? To me?
Yeah.
I wouldn't lose you for anybody, Kate. You know that.
That's fair enough, isn't it? Yeah. Then I want to mention a podcast, a new podcast from a very obscure podcaster. You may not have heard of him, Mark Kermode.
Mark the Kermode, yeah. You say.
The legend. He's got a new... So obviously, Wittertainment, his incredibly successful weekly film review from Five Live with Simon Mayer, we all know about. But he's done an offshoot called Kermode on Film, which is more of a like of an in-depth deep dive kind of show. And he does the best thing about it is he does this head-to-head section at the beginning with this young film critic called Jack Howard, who he's known for years, he's got to know over the years, and they go at it with each other about films, you know what I mean? So like they've both got very different sensibilities, and it's really good fun. So they're both kind of like discuss different films that they've seen recently, that new releases, and it's a debate between the two of them. It's very entertaining. He also has clips of his MK3D live events that he does at the BFI once a month, where he has huge big stars like Michael Caine, Rob Brydon, someone's really funny, and he has clips from those interviews. It's really great. Mark Kermode on Film, out now at a podcast provider near you. And finally...
And finally. Is he going to end on a high or a end on a mediocre?
Let me say,
it something on Sky?
54 hours, it's on BBC4/Sky.
Yeah.
54 hours, : The Gladbeck Hostage Crisis.
What?
Yes.
This sounds fantastic.
I'm going to blow your mind.
Okay.
So, you know, BBC4, the Saturday night BBC4 slot. It's the Saturday night forum BBC, which we often touch upon.
I love it. We like it.
Somehow, I completely managed to miss this whole thing.
I literally saw it.
Glancing over the iPlayer, I was looking for something else. I thought, oh, what's that there? I clicked on it. It's unbelievably great.
Really?
It's a true story. It's a two-part, 3 hours. So it's, each part is 1.5 hours. The second part went out on Saturday, but it'll be on the iPlayer. It's a true story of a botched bank robbery that happened in Germany in the 80s. And there was a massive hostage situation and a siege. And everyone cocks everything up, from the criminals, the hostages, the police... But it's a complete disaster.
Real life.
Basically, and it's so brilliantly done, honestly. Because what happened was I clicked on it. I think, you know, what's that? I should check that out. And it goes straight into the hostage situation.
Nobody died, did they?
No spoilers.
Well, okay. You know, I'm not going to spoil it. But it completely goes right into this bank robbery situation so immediately that you almost think, am I watching part two? I had to double check.
Oh, I like that, though.
Yeah. It thrusts you. Pulls the rug. It's a rug pull. Honestly, it's brilliant. You're going to love it. It's really, really good. And I feel slightly annoyed with myself that I didn't make sure we previewed it earlier because I just hadn't heard about it. They're not that great, BBC4, at telling you about these things.
That's a lesson learned for them because, you know.
Yeah. So, 54 hours, the Gladbeck hostage crisis. It doesn't sound particularly enticing, but it's really, really brilliant on the BBC iPlayer.
Thank you very much. I'm so excited about it.
I've never seen you so alive. Other than when you talk about Morrissey.
You've never seen me so
Morrissey
alive.
Morrissey or Doctor Who or Sherlock. Sherlock.
I'm often very alive. How dare you?
Often.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
sometimes. Before we go on to the meat, anything from the pogs? Any pics from the people on the ground?
Anybody got anything to say about anything?
Any other business?
People?
Can I just say all of that? What's happening?
I mean, anybody got anything nice to say?
Okay, let's start with pog pics, right? Okay, so this comes from Matt, who says, working my way through Daredevil 3. So season
3. Oh, yeah, Daredevil 3.
Real step up in quality from series 2, and the sequence in the prison in episode 4 is easily one of the best sequences in any comic book TV show or movie ever filmed, in capitals.
Ooh.
Genuinely extraordinary.
Big
and
words.
Then what I love about this is that another pog got involved and saying it was Chris. Beth said, we totally agree with this. Also, Better Call Saul. Dictionary definition of slow burn, but totally worth the investment of time.
Oh, yeah, Better Call Saul was brilliant. Yeah.
Really?
Yes.
Is it?
Oh, yes.
Okay, I'm going to try. I haven't watched any of it, but I love Breaking Bad.
Yeah.
Okay.
So that's the pog pick for this week.
Oh, brief.
Thank you.
Very brief. You know,
lots of people love Daredevil.
Are you reading out the tweet about picking up Steph for being a complete... Is this coming under, can I just say, a.k.a.
Please
any other business?
Please stick to the format, Boyd. Otherwise, Boyd, how are we meant to know what we're doing?
Thanks for the Now it's, can I just say, a.k.a. any other business?
Okay. I want to start with a quick game of Keep or Delete.
Yes.
If I may. The popular franchise.
Yeah.
Which is from Alistair Woolard, and he's from Leicester, and he says, hi. It's very brief. Hi. Outlander.
Delete.
Keep.
Power.
Keep.
Yeah, okay.
The Deuce?
Keep.
Delete.
What?
I think it's got a bit stodgy.
Stodgy?
Yeah. Incredible sex scenes, I'll give it that. Carry on.
Keep for those.
Ozark?
Keep.
Making a Murderer?
Oh,
no.
I mean,
keep.
That's not even a question,
I don't know,
it?
Just somehow... Yeah. I don't
Come
know,
on, Ali.
There's something more than keeping it.
Yeah.
Do you know, can I just quickly say about the Deuce? You know they've appointed a sex scene advisor...
What?
And an intimacy director, especially, because there is so much sex in it.
How's that
job? It's about the porn industry. So it's someone's job to go in and advise them how to film so that everyone's comfortable and it's not, you know, it's not all dodgy and
quite
you
right
me
too.
And meet you me too and all the hashtag you me. I've invented my hashtag.
You can't start your own movement called you me, okay?
So the Deuce has
hashtag
its very own.
Hashtag you me. I mean, what would that even be about?
Wasn't there a kids show called You and Me?
Yes.
Yeah, You and Me,
one.
Me and You, lots of things for us to do.
Classic. All right, some feedback. So,
okay,
good
feedback.
Okay, let's start with some of the... Well, this was just a question, actually, from Rachel. And she said, still don't get what a pog is. Was it explained in the first episode?
Oh.
And I think, actually, we are remiss because we often refer about
pogs. I try to explain
I don't think Steph tries at all.
Silly jargon is.
I'll try now.
Go on. Yeah.
Pog... is people on the ground. That means you, that means the people that really matter, the opinions that matter, the people that we are doing this for.
But it all goes back to in the very early days of the first version of this podcast, which was called Something Else. Like, what will the people on the ground think in a slightly patronizing way?
Because I said that it didn't matter what you thought.
And I picked up on the fact that you're calling them people on the ground.
Yeah.
All normal people are people on the ground. And then we shortened it to pog and it became a thing.
And it's an affectionate term.
Very affectionate.
Okay, we've had a message from Laura Jenkins who says, I've listened already, fab as usual, peeps. Kathleen Zellner, Steph, needs her own goddamn show now.
She so does.
Thanks to Stephanie, Reverse Ferret, I'm planning on watching The Haunting of Hill House this weekend.
Good. I think you should. It's a good Halloween weekend.
Steph reversed her opinion that it was rubbish.
It is really good.
She reversed her ferret.
I did reverse my ferret.
Okay, this one's from Cotswold Pilgrim, a.k.a. Ian. And he says, So he and Steph had a little bit of a scuffle on Twitter.
I remember this.
Explain, Steph.
Well, he was saying that he was going to give John a pint because John had recommended the Wonderland Murders and something else, Caliphate.
Podcasts.
Okay. And then I just happened to see it. I'm not very good at my social media, but I happened to see it and I became enraged because it absolutely wasn't John who recommended The Wonderland Murders.
John's
which
such
is
a glory hunter.
The incredible show about John Holmes, the porn star, and how he was involved in this insane murder situation. And I just had to say something to him.
Yeah.
Because it was me. Now, if you haven't listened to it, it's a really, really good podcast.
Well, listen, Ian has apologised on Twitter. And
Is it an apologia?
He said apologies, so I mean...
Okay, fair enough.
Whilst I'm in the bad books, going to throw this out there as well, I didn't like Teacher's Pet. which is something else we all recommended. Yeah. It was overly long and repetitive. I ditched it after 3.5 episodes. I hope we can all remain friends in the face of this.
Well, I think it is a good point.
I believe I said that.
They did have soft soil. 800,000 mentions of soft soil.
I think it could have been condensed more and packed more of a punch.
Yeah.
Okay. And last bit of feedback was from Darren.
Let's end on a high. What's
Darren at Wurzler75 says...
Oh, nice name.
So this was about the our top three choices, a format point, if you will.
Right.
He said, at least there's only 9 things in the three, so we won't have the boring saga if one of the presenters can actually stick to the format for once.
Excuse me?
Who can he be referring to?
So I can only presume, I mean, listen, I thought it could be any one of us. Mm. Steph has replied on Twitter and she just said, formats were made to be broken, thanks. Rules mean nothing to her.
Well, do you know what, Darren? I've only done 3 this week for you. I hope you're happy.
Well done, Darren. You forced her to stick to the format. You're a hero. That's what I'd say.
I expect to hear your response, Darren.
Thank you very much for any other business, aka Can I Just Say. And now... it's time for the meat.
Da, 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 da.
3 juicy new shows for us to discuss, starting with what I consider to be the long-awaited return, even though it was only about a year ago, the first season went out.
That is long-awaited. I've been waiting for ages.
It's a long time. The Sinner, season 2, arriving on Netflix this very Friday. And season 1 was all about Detective Harry Ambrose, played by Bill Pullman, was investigating this extraordinary crime that we see where this woman stabbed a dude on the beach with a, what was it, a peeler?
It was a pear peeler.
And she had no concept of why she did it. There didn't seem to be any connection with her own thing. It was a seemingly random thing, and in the end, it was all explained. Now, this time, it's focusing on... it's a completely different story, so it's a completely different mystery.
So if you're looking for Jessica Biel, who was the star of the first one...
she's not in it.
She's exec producing this.
She is, but she's not in it. And this time, Harry Ambrose is back, and he goes back to his hometown in rural New York to assess an unsettling and weird crime, which we see right at the beginning of the series in episode 1, in which 2 parents are murdered by their 11-year-old son, seemingly with no apparent motive. He seems to poison them with some weird, putting some weird stuff
flowers,
in tea,
leaves,
flowers in tea.
Yeah.
He's asked to come in by the local police, particularly by a young local police detective, Heather Novak, played by Natalie Paul. So he goes back, and there's also a connection right at the end of episode 1. Suddenly, the great Carrie Coon of Gone Girl fame arrives, and she claims to be the mother of the little kid. This isn't a spoiler because it's like the premise. And then from then on, it's all about what connection. She's in charge of this weird, like, religious cult. What connection has this religious cult got with the victims and the boy and the locals, and they're all connected to this cult, etc., etc. Steph, what did you think?
I loved it. The first series of Sinner was absolutely brilliant. I hadn't read anything about the second season, so I was kind of going, is Jessica Biel going to be in this? How are they going to continue the Jessica Biel story? Because it ended with such finality that you couldn't possibly. And I was very happy to see that it was a completely new story. And also that Bill Pullman, who is such an underrated actor, in my opinion, and I love him as a detective, is so brilliant in it. It's got everything for me, everything I love. I love when they play with time scales. So they do a lot of flashbacks in this. I love this kind of thing. It harks back to my favourite thing ever, Damages with Glenn Close, which you should all watch. It's absolutely brilliant because you've just got no idea. It's just a huge, huge puzzle. And I also love things where, because actually I think I've worked out already, but I'm not going to say what it is.
Oh, okay.
What, after one episode? Or...
Yeah.
Really?
But I like doing that. I like.
You need to be a detective.
Given the opportunity. Well, I don't know if it's right, but I like being given the opportunity to... I know so much about crime.
Yeah, but you're assuming everyone's guilty and arresting them.
There's no smoke without fire.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, the little kid is absolutely fantastic. Bill Pullman was fantastic. Beautifully shot. Everyone's wonderful in it. It's going to be a huge hit.
Okay.
I agree with everything Steph said. And what I love about The Sinner, especially season 2, is that there's multiple mysteries. So there's so many questions you have. Like, obviously, it was all the backstory of Bill Pullman's character. And you're kind of like, okay, so what has happened to him? Why is he so... even more tortured. He seems to have a connection with the boy which actually in episode 2 sort of unfolds a bit more. What's the female detective story? She's got some background and which is connected to the boy as well. And I think you're right. Bill Pullman is just the absolute pull for me because he's so enigmatic.
Really, Bill Pullman.
Mm.
And he does these shifty glances and like
that's a group
he's such a tortured soul. You just want to like you just want to explore his story even more than actually the
central
one.
Do you remember from the first season that he's got that weird sex thing?
Yeah.
He's got the weird sex thing.
He's got the weird sex thing where he likes to have his fingernails like pulled and stuff like that and likes to be hurt.
Yeah, he's got weird fetishes. Yeah. Yeah.
He's the kind of person that you think Louis Theroux would do a documentary
on. Oh, good,
nice.
Good link.
Yeah.
It's brilliant. The storytelling is so riveting. It's so clever.
Riveting is the word, yeah.
Because it's one of those shows where every single scene has some intrigue in it.
Yeah.
So it's constantly, there's no flab. It's absolutely extraordinarily focused. And so even the flashbacks, so there's whole flashbacks, the detective has some connection to the weird religious community. And every one of those is like incredibly riveting. You know, and I think in some shows, that, you know, the flashback, every show now is flashbacks and timelines. It's the whole thing of peak TV. But the way they do it in this thing, I think, is so brilliant. It's so riveting. And I can't wait to see how it all turns out. Yeah. And yeah, it's fantastic. And Carrie Coon is, I think, from The Leftovers, which is one of the greatest TV shows of all time, and from Gone Girl, one of the greatest films of all time. She is so brilliant as this scarily, like, she's
in
charge.
She's very cold and controlled.
She takes charge. Mm. She manages to control everyone, like the kid, the people in the commune, the detective. Mm. She has everyone under her thumb. Absolutely brilliant. Five stars from me.
So a real winner is the sinner.
Oh.
I didn't mean
she
to do
practiced
that.
That.
I didn't. It just happens. Magic just happens.
I think I said it arrives next Friday on the Netflix.
Oh, boy, please be accurate.
In full. Friday the 9th. Now then, it's time for Louis Theroux's Altered States, Love Without Limits. Now, to be completely transparent, while Steph was watching this live, she was live WhatsApping our WhatsApp group and telling us in no uncertain terms her feelings about the people contained within this documentary. And our guru, producer, editor, recorder, legend, John, pointed out quite rightly that you can't review the people and their lives. You've got to review the programme.
What is the best? But the programme is about the people.
Right.
Well, they've put themselves out there to be judged by me.
What is the programme about? Go on.
Tell us.
Right.
Tell us, do.
She's rolling her eyes.
Okay, so this is kind of the second incarnation of Louis Theroux's Altered States series, isn't it? So he did an Altered States 4 episodes last year. So this is the second lot of those. And there's 3 of them, I believe, in this series. The first one is called Love Without Limits. Right, I'm going to
just deal in the facts.
I am
don't editorialise,
okay.
Just your facts.
Right, I'm just going to deal with the facts, right. I might have to read it. It says here, for hundreds of years, romantic relationships in Western society have been based on the idea of monogamy. 2 people together forever.
Oh my God, this is these deep breaths.
Well,
it's so passive aggressive.
Basically, it's about people who don't want to do that and people who've decided that they are not going to stick to one flavour of ice cream and they're basically going to have their cake and eat it and they're going to bring another person or 2 other people into their relationship. They're going to have their relationship and
they're polyamorous.
They call it polyamorous.
Well done, Kate.
They
well
call
done.
It polyamorous.
She's hit the nail on the head.
I think it's somewhat greedy.
Oh, here we go.
Okay, so now we've gone into the
analysis.
It's
like a way, a way of cheating without going, oh, no, I'm not cheating. No.
But it's sort of not cheating because everyone's aware of the situation, right? So it's not lying to their partners.
Yeah, but a lot of it starts out with they fancied this other person and then they were like, how can I get around this? Oh, I know, I'm going to be polyamorous and then I can have this person and that person as well. I'm sorry, that's just what I think. Anyway, so Louis goes to investigate. So he sees a thruple, which is a woman and two men.
I did love that term, thruple.
The men are not in a relationship together. It's just the woman who's got both of the guys. One of them's for emotional needs and one of them's for physical needs. And they both seem to be absolutely fine with understanding that they cannot provide, neither one of them can totally provide for this woman. Holy.
I do like they talk through their sleeping arrangements where they talk about big spoons, little spoons and all that.
There's this other family who they've got a young daughter, this poor guy called Jerry and his wife.
This is the family I'm obsessed
they've
with.
They've been married for like 20 years. His wife, who's, you know, she's an attractive woman. She's got this other guy on the side.
Joe's
also got his own family. And poor Jerry's just had to been putting up with it for God knows how many years. And there's this awful bit in it where Jerry goes,
no spoilers, because I think you should leave it if it's the thing at the end. So the last scene for me was
Jerry talks about how he really feels about it. Okay. And then Louis also has to go to some sort of weird day sex party where people just touch each other.
Sensual eating.
Yeah.
Where he basically has to eat. He, you know, what's great about Louis is
people.
That he does give his all to it and he will get involved. And so he goes to this sensual eating party where he is blindfolded. Everyone has to cover up their genitalia.
Because it's right? The day.
Yeah. Well,
although you say that, and they do, but they're still like breasts heaving around and there's quite a lot of...
Maybe it's their front bottoms. Like
stroking their breasts against people's faces.
Yeah, exactly.
Anyway, Louis gets stroked while eating some cheese.
Yeah.
That's what you need to know.
And strawberries.
Yeah.
Mainly cheese.
It isn't a quite extraordinary moment, isn't it? I mean, obviously he's famous for...
Can I just mention the other woman? There's a woman who is about to have a baby and she has felt like this is the perfect time to become polygamous. She's just taken on a new boyfriend. She's got, like, she's with the father of a baby. She's got, you know what? She's just
Steph, would you?
I mean, I would take on Catherine
No, no, listen. If Jamie Redknapp came here right now and said, Steph, you've never been more attracted to me with that baby. Do you want to get into a thruple?
I mean, that's not fair. He is irresistible.
Okay. Suddenly, the worm has turned.
Yeah.
But that's what I mean. I would totally use that as... I'd be like, Liam, do you know what? It's not that I just really fancy Jamie Redknapp. It's that I think I'm polygamous. So, Jamie lives here now.
Yeah. It's that. But the bit about... To go back to the bit where Louis Theroux immerses himself in
the cheese
sex party thing.
The fondue party.
Intimacy party.
Yeah.
What I wanted to know was, what did he tell his wife? Because he's a married man.
Yeah.
He covers that off. He says, I spoke to her, doesn't he?
Does he?
Yeah.
Oh, I totally missed that bit.
Yeah, yeah. He said, after a call to my wife, I've decided to give it a go. Yeah.
Oh, I'm glad I asked that question because I totally missed it.
He signed it off. You'd never imagine that Louis Theroux would do something like that without checking
his
wife.
I know. But because I missed that bit, I want to know. I was like, oh, how did he get into that?
Yeah, fight? He would have to.
Yeah. There's this woman rubbing her naked bosoms practically in his face.
Yeah.
And some other bloke like massaging him from behind. So obviously you made it quite clear you disapprove of these lifestyle choices
but,
of
do you know
these
what?
People. And yet you would do it with Jamie Redknapp.
I wholeheartedly approve of everything Louis Theroux does because I think he is the greatest documentarian of our time.
But did you...
What?
I do. I think
David Attenborough?
No. I think Louis Theroux...
It's different though, isn't it?
It's a different, but I do... Yeah.
Bold statement.
Louis Theroux, you can watch again and again and he's just the most amazing person ever. But he, his brand, he can do anything... He's so, I don't know.
He had a touch of the Weird Weekends.
Yeah, isn't he? Because he doesn't make these people feel like that he thinks they're doing anything unusual. He thinks that he acts as if he's just there being completely neutral towards them, which I think is amazing because if I was, I'd be like,
but actually,
that's what
well,
I mean.
Actually, no, I disagree with you both because I think he actually does, at the beginning, he actually says to them explicitly, like, you know, this is not how I... He was struggling with it. You could see. And that's what I liked about it, actually. Because he said that... There's one point where he's like... He looked like he was really, like, astounded by what was going on, which I was...
There's a difference between... So, of course, he's astounded, because what's going on is extraordinary, but...
He is judging them, but then he asks... But then he...
At one point, he questions a woman and says, isn't polygamy just a slow divorce?
I think there's a difference between challenging them... Questioning it, expressing his amazement at this whole world because it is extraordinary, and being judgmental. I don't think at any point he's judgmental. That's the key. And I think it's interesting what you said about David Attenborough actually, because if you think about it, the whole you know, animals don't mate for life, do they? They don't, like, you know, it's a whole social construct. I did think halfway through thinking, you know, but fair enough, you know, they're living their lives. What?
Lobsters do.
Actually, I think that's true. Yeah.
Lobsters mate for life.
I think it's different.
I think you'll actually find there's a few animals that mate for life.
If a lobster definitely doesn't go off and have sex with any other lobsters?
I definitely think so.
Oh, yeah, okay. Lobster wouldn't do that.
Lobsters mate for life.
Doesn't want to get crabs.
And anyway. Dolphins rape. There's a lot of things that go on.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Yeah, it is true.
I didn't need to bring up dolphin rape.
Anyway,
it is... I think Theroux's recent documentary has been very, very... heavyweight, like looking at the drug situation in America, and very tough watches. I mean, brilliant. This is less. This is like very entertaining. There's still emotional moments in it, aren't there?
And
I'm really feel sorry for the one dude who's clearly his wife's like, no, I'm not interested. I'm just interested in the guy who I sleep with every day. But it was fascinating, and yeah, classic.
Polygamy is not a victimless situation.
Polyamory.
It's not. There's someone. like they're saying, "Oh yeah, we're all really happy," but they're not.
But it's, it, I, we can go. We can go
I'd love to hear from you if you're in a polygamous relationship and you think it's
marriage is often is not necessarily a victim of the situation
it
either.
It isn't. It isn't. Right. So you just put up with it marriage. And just go, "I've chosen you. Shit, maybe I've made the wrong decision, but let's try and stick
As
it out."
The Amber George Clee has with you.
Well, exactly. If he can do it, you can.
Anyway, how many stars are we giving Louis Theroux's Altered States : Love Without Limits on BBC Two next Sunday?
Five stars.
Five stars.
Yeah, I think it's
can I just tell you, my friend Dan Jolin, when he had his first baby, he was in the hospital and he was so excited, but he was just going downstairs to get his wife a drink. The lift opened and Louis Theroux was in the lift and he ended up calling his first child Louis.
Really?
Yeah. That's brilliant.
That's a good story.
That's a good, genuinely good story. Well done.
Thanks.
Anyway, so we'll give it five stars. It's on BBC Two next Sunday at 9 o'clock. And finally, The Heist. Oh, Kay, you went to see the screening. Now we've all seen it, but explain what the bejesus this is.
Okay, 10 law-abiding citizens are giving a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity of basically stealing some money and taking that money, doing a heist on a van, a security van, which is holding loads of cash, running off with it, dividing it equally between them all, so £25,000 each, and trying to find inventive ways of keeping it hidden. And if they can evade detection from a group of detectives who are after them for, I think it's 2 weeks, then they can keep that life-changing amount of money. That is it in a nutshell.
And it's basically the Channel 4 show,
isn't it? It's hunted with money.
With money. But I would say... I mean, I know you clearly you have clearly negative feelings about it because I can feel the negativity emanating from you as we speak.
I do.
Be fair, Steph.
I would say that the production values of this and the general visual quality to it feels slightly bigger and more ambitious than the Channel 4 show.
Okay.
I'm going to start.
Yeah.
I'm going to start.
Okay, fine.
I thought it was hugely entertaining and fun to watch because everyone could put themselves in that position. It's a position that, you might not have ever thought of it, but... Wouldn't you like to see if you could get away with it? We watch so many crime shows. We all think we can get away with it. Steph, you yourself said, you're like immersed in crime programs
proper
that you feel
crime.
Like to be a detective.
People who've dedicated themselves properly to crime.
Well, I mean...
Trying to get away with it properly. Trying to steal money.
Stop saying properly.
If you were given the opportunity, all four of us, right, if they said, right, guys... Would you like to see if you could get away with it, if you can outsmart the detectives? Are you saying you wouldn't?
I'm not sure if
but
I can be bothered.
I already know. I could, and you two couldn't. You don't watch enough crime.
I thought it was very amusing, and also because of the characters they've chosen. Like, they're just residents of this village in Thirsk. And there's some of them who are obviously very kind of intelligent, have thought this through, have like really get into it, and they're like, very adrenaline-filled with this whole activity. And there's others who, I mean... I can only call one of them a bozo. Like, there's one incident.
Steady.
I'm sorry, right? One of the main things if you're committing a crime is hide your identity, okay? And this person struggles with that concept. And listen, it might be his downfall.
Which happens a lot on I keep forgetting the name of the Channel 4 show.
Hunted.
Hunted. On Hunted, famously.
It's like the same letter. Begins with the same letter. Hunted and The Heist.
I know, that's why I'm getting confused. But on Hunted, do you remember famously in the first series when because people like going online and checking their Facebook and stuff like that, even though that was the main way in which anyone can track you down.
I'm not going to ruin how this bozo does it, but it's extraordinary what he does.
Doofus.
And you're just like, how can you think that's possible?
I would say doofus rather than bozo.
Yeah.
But,
Why?
I don't know. I feel more of a bozo. Feels slightly more
friendly.
Harsher.
I think bozo's a friendly term.
Doof's fine. Steph, come on. What's your problem?
Right.
About this show.
Yeah, about this show.
Not in general.
We haven't got time for problems that I've got in general. Okay. I'm going to... Two words. Amdram. Right. There are a few things in life that give me the app that would make me curl up into a ball of cringeness. And one of those things is amateur dramatics. And this is basically filled to the brim with amateur dramatics. And I actually find it unwatchable. And I'll tell you, hold on. This is what I find unwatchable about it. Right. The people who are the police people are actual retired, proper, trained, professional police officers. And I just cannot bear them having to act out, come on guys, with the whole like, there's been a robbery, we're gonna have to get, I want you down on the seat, we need to corner. It's just so embarrassing. I feel like how? Why? But they're not.
Do you know what? I was when I was at the press conference, press screening for this, and they were like a couple of the police officers. Actually, four of them were there, and they were talking about this, and they said, actually, it is. I know, obviously, it'll be slightly heightened, but he goes, that is how it all unfolds.
Yeah, okay, but good. Well, watch 24 Hours in Police Custody then. Why do you... It's a game.
It's like a competition.
It's so embarrassing. It's too embarrassing. It's just... The whole thing is too embarrassing. I hate the way that... I mean, I know it has to be contrived because, obviously, it's a contrived concept, but I just find it really cringy and awful, and I think an hour is way too long to watch.
I think you're being too harsh.
It's hot. It's awful. I hate this kind of thing.
Wow.
It's awful.
I think we get the picture.
Do you like it? I hate it.
Fine. I enjoyed it. I perfectly enjoyed it.
Really?
Yeah. I just thought, as I said at the beginning, I was impressed by how well made it was. It's a, you know, they've kind of taken this. You know, I was slightly dreading it when I first heard about it. I was like, oh, it's your version of Hunted. I finally remember the name of it. You know, with money involved. It sounded a bit cheesy. It sounded a bit.
It is cheesy.
And it just sounded like a ripoff of Hunted. So I was like, well, what's the point? But I think actually, I think it's really well put together. As Kay says, I like the selection of the people. I like the fact it's just voiceover and you see, there's no presenter or anything. It's very like, it's quite. It feels quite authentic. I enjoyed it. Giving it three stars.
Authentic, like when the guy goes into the cafe, like they go,
but that's a construct.
They have to do that. We're watching them doing what they're trying to do.
And you can watch loads of real crime stuff that actually happens. Oh,
but
why
it's a different
do you
genre,
care?
You...
Oh, Bozo.
I was going to be... I nearly used the I word. But it's a different genre. It's not a true crime thing. It's a game show. That's what it is.
Yeah, do you know what? I don't want my beloved true crime to be... This is silly.
Okay. How many stars, Kay?
I'm going to give it 3.5 stars.
I'm going to give it 3.
I'm going to give it 1.5 stars.
1.5. That's The Heist. Decide for yourselves. It's on Sky One, Now TV, on Sky, Friday the 9th of November, 9 o'clock. And that concludes this week's Basic Bingers podcast. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.